I had a message I was going to preach this morning, and I got it changed. I'm going to share something this morning. I've talked about this before. In fact, the Lord had been speaking to me about this for a few weeks, and I thought last week that was what I was going to minister on, and then he didn't go that direction. And so he spoke with me this morning down here and directed me to go to this today. Hallelujah. See, this is one thing to be led by the Spirit. You get to study a lot of the Bible. See, you get over there and he gets you studying on things and that he don't tell you. No, it's just, it's not, you know, not every minister operates in this manner. It's just, that's the way that God operates through me. He does a lot of, off the spur of the moment, he'll tell me to do something. And so I had a hard time at first adjusting to that. That's, you know, because you like to have your notes and you like to have that, you know, want that comfort there. Well, what if I forget what's going on? See, then you got to walk by faith. Oh, has it come to that? We got to walk by faith. It's come to that. Hallelujah. Well, but, you know, it's one of the things I've learned to come to enjoy that. I've learned currently to like that because I find out that through these, I get revelation. Through these things, God starts opening things up. And so there's a benefit. And as anyhow, I've learned this is doing the will of God. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. The Lord wants to talk about it. And it has to do is, number one, we're dealing with a new birth. People must be born again. This is what is in the earth. Is number one is right now is the important things. We're moving in a time. Jesus Christ is coming back. The church age is coming to a close. The time of the Gentiles is going to come to the point of being fulfilled. You need to understand, people talk about the tribulation is not about the Gentile. It's about Israel. It's God's dealing with Israel. The church almost preaches it like it's, you know, we're going over here and God's dealing with man. It's about it ain't about the Gentile getting saved. There's Gentiles who will. But it's God's dealing with the nation of Israel. With a 1,000-year reign is about Israel and its reign in the earth for 1,000 years. That's what it's about. You know, do you realize that that's what the devil tried to move through Adolf Hitler was to bring a 1,000-year reign. That's what that was about. It was a 1,000-year reign. The devil wanted to do his job. Didn't work out. God had other plans. And so we need to know that. It's one of the things is something that I've talked about times before. It was a revelation that I got right after I was born again. And we're gonna go to that. You can turn to the 128th Psalm. We're gonna go there as well. God wants to talk to you this morning about your loved ones, your family, and about the salvation of your family. And especially dealing first of all with your immediate family. And it was a revelation that he gave me that has worked all these years. Because I've watched people do this. I've watched Christians pray and pray and pray and pray and nothing happen. Because it isn't just about praying. Now understand, prayer is a tool. It's one of these things. Prayer is more from a thing. Lots of times it's not just about asking something. It's about fellowship with God. People do very little of that, fellowship with God. Most of their praying is all about asking for stuff and trying to get God to do something they want done. Now, there's nothing wrong. We're told to pray and ask for things. But prayer is a lot about fellowship with God. It's about hooking up with God, staying in tune with God. You need to be able to hear from God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. This is the great fault of most Christians. It's like in February, I got born again in January of 1980. And in February 1980, the Lord spoke to me just as clear. To me, it would have been like a voice in the room. I know it wasn't a voice in the room, but it was that clear to me. He said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. See, our fellowship and our prayer and everything and time and stuff, we need to be able to commune with God and learn to listen to the Spirit, learn to hear the Spirit. If you don't, I don't care. You can study the Bible as much as you want. You got to learn to listen to the Holy Ghost, to what He's telling you to do. Amen. What's He saying? The Word is wonderful. The Word without the Spirit's nothing. You're going to be nothing but a Pharisee. That's all you'll be. That's all you'll be as a Pharisee. When God shows up, you won't know. You'll think you're so smart. I gave it up a long time ago of being smart. Hallelujah. God is smart. I just need to hook up with His smart. If I hook up with His smart, I do good. When I don't hook up with his spark, it shows up. Hallelujah. So we're just hooking up with God. And so anyhow, when I got born again, Wanda wasn't born again. I got born again. God dealt with me. It was one of the things is really from the Bible standpoint, God dealt with me. I brought me under the conviction of sin of my life, of where I was at. And my need for salvation. And we talked about, we'd said this before. Is number one, the word tells us in the New Testament that the law is the schoolmaster, or it's a school teacher, to bring you to Christ. Why? Because the law is the knowledge of sin. People need to come to the place of the knowledge of sin. If you don't come to the knowledge of sin, you don't need a Savior. You'll never know you need one. And when we deal with the new birth and all these things, as we'll maybe as the Lord leads on, we'll talk into those kinds of things. But, you know, is today, we talk about salvation and born again. Most people, it's all about forgiveness of sin. You know, this is what it is. You need to get your sin. I've heard Christians say this all the time, people, you need to get your sins forgiven. Well, you can get your sins forgiven and go to hell. Your sins are already forgiven. Your sins were forgiven at the cross. Jesus Christ took the sin of all humanity. Everybody that's in hell today, their sin was forgiven. Jesus took their sin. Didn't he take their sin? Yeah. Why? See, their sin. Why are they in hell? It's because they didn't get born again, and you can only do that through receiving Jesus Christ. We receive Christ, and in Christ, our forgiveness of sin is permanent, and the reason is because when we get born again, we become children of God. The new birth really is our receiving of the forgiveness of sin. The new birth is. That's why, you know, you can ask God, a sinner can ask God to forgive them their sin. That ain't going to get them into heaven if they don't get born again. They need to get born again. And we've got the church, thank God for forgiveness of sin, but that's not the... You know, the church has made that everything. Well, poor dumb Jesus didn't know that. He said, you must be born again. He didn't say, Nicodemus, you must get your sins forgiven. Why didn't he say that to him? Why didn't he tell the woman at the well of Samaria she needed her sins forgiven? Poor dumb Jesus didn't know the gospel. These bright people today. But see, we leave the truth of the Word. And this is one of the things. Truth and things come by revelation. This is one of the greatest things that I've learned over the years, is God, the revealer of the Word. God's the revealer of the Word. I don't know because I just physically study. God reveals Himself. And when God reveals, revelation comes from God, of the Word. And really, the things that really set and marked my life were revelations that I had from God. There was revelations I got before I was even born again by questioning and asking God about things. And God took me to the Word before I was saved and showed me things. Why? He wanted me to get saved under the knowledge of the truth. Not because somebody said or something. So much today, you know, as I hear all the time, I remember one time I was working. In fact, where it took place was down at Teen Challenge. This is years ago. They had in the summertime, they'd have this big thing there, and they'd have all these guest speakers in and music bands and all this kind of stuff they'd have there. And I was working down there, and I was in a tent, and it's just people could come in there, things that they wanted to ask, you know, stuff you could share with them and pray with people and different things. And I was in there to do that. Well, there was a guy who, he was probably at that time, he was in his 40s. I would say probably about mid to late 40s. And he come walking in, and he said to me, he came in and he sat down and he said, they had us go forward out here. He said, there was a band that was playing out there, was doing some stuff. They had people come forward and ask about it. It had to do with receiving Christ, but they really didn't. Actually, I found out they didn't really do that. They did a religious thing. But this guy walks in, and this is one of the things that really grabbed me. He said to me, numbers of people went down and I went down with the crowd. But he said, if anything happened to me, I don't know it. And I thought, you get born again, you'll know it. He didn't, and I said, what did they tell you? What did they say? Because I wasn't out there, I didn't know. And he said, well, if you want to just come down and ask Jesus to come in your heart. Do you know that's not in Scripture anywhere? Do you know that that's not in the Bible? Ask Jesus to come in your heart. Now that sounds like a nice little religious statement, but see, what is the reason nothing happened to him? He hadn't come into knowledge of any truth. He hadn't come into knowledge of truth. So what took place was nothing. He recognized it. And I thought, how many of the, all these rest of those people, they didn't recognize. They went along and thought, because I did what these people told me to do. But those people never gave them scripture. They never told them nothing. They didn't tell them Bible. See, this is hugely important. When I came to salvation, God revealed things of scripture to me to bring me to the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word. It don't come by hearing somebody just say something. A religious statement. It don't come by that. You can grab a faith, but that's human faith and it won't get you anything. Well, anyhow, so I sat down and got the Bible. I said, come here, let's sit down. So we went through the scriptures on salvation, about his need for salvation. We went through scriptures of what he had to do, the Bible said to do to be saved. So I said, this is what we're going to do. I said, those scriptures, now that you know them, this is what we're going to do, what the scripture says. So we just followed through what the scripture said. And when we were done, I said to him, are you saved? He said, of course, we did what the Bible said. You see, we need to understand, so much of the church, this is one of the big messes today in the church world. There is so much teaching, but it's men's teaching. They're nice things. They have part truths to them. They sound very nice. Let's go to the Bible. God has always taken me to the Word. He always takes me to the Word. He always shows me. He always shows me His Word. He always does. So anyhow, what he wanted me to talk about this morning, because he wants you, especially, there's an authority in things that we have as concerning our own offspring that we have. There's authority that we got. And we need to know to walk in that. So one of the first things that the Lord taught me was about an authority that I have concerning my family, my immediate family. And then he showed me later there's an extension concerning things of authority. And if we don't learn these things, as what he began to teach me was, is one of the things that I had heard Kenneth Hagin teaching, and he talked about, he said, lots of times your family won't listen to you. I found it true. Jesus' family wouldn't listen to him. Do you think about that? Jesus went around and held all them meetings, and the only time his mama and brothers showed up to all those meetings was to try to haul him off thinking he's a nut. Here's the old Virgin Mary. You know, this is Virgin Mary. The angel appears to her. Your son's going to be the Redeemer. And you know what? A couple years later, she don't even remember that. He's a nut. You see, I found this out a long time ago. You know, family don't pay no attention to you. You know, see, I got saved, felt the Holy Ghost, and I was a nut in the family. You know, that's all right. But see, I was thank God. See, I heard good teaching ahead of time, so I never let that bother me. I understood. I mean, if they did to Jesus, told his disciples, what they did to me, they're going to do to you. And constantly I see Christians and preachers trying to do the opposite of what Jesus said, what they're going to do to you. They act like it ain't going to happen. And what a mess they are. It's one of the things is learning, especially, I was thankful for this, that God taught me early about my family. And about what my part that I needed to do. What I needed to do. And you need, this is a revelation. And this is one of the things the Lord spoke to me years ago and said about it. He said, the revelation, he told me this revelation that he gave me that I'm going to talk about today, which I've talked about before. But he said, this revelation, he said, I gave this to you to give to the church. He said, this is for everybody. It's the Bible. It's for everybody. See, somebody thinks sometimes that things are just, you know, God showed me and showed this. There's one of the things is the revelation. God does a lot concerning me because of teaching. My job is to teach. You're supposed to teach revelation. Wouldn't that be nice that that would be what most of the church world would do, that ministers would teach revelation? Most today is taught culture and everything else. It's not revelation from the Bible. Many ministers will live and die with hardly any revelation of the Bible. That's sad. I mean, you folks here have more revelation of the Bible than probably a good 80% of ministers got. People call themselves preachers in the United States. They follow their traditions. They follow those things. They do all this kind of stuff. Think about this. The average church here in town will have their Advent season, and they'll go through this whole thing and follow this whole thing, and most of them will end up in hell. How can it be? How can you be following the things from the birth and then the life and death of Jesus Christ, down to the death and resurrection, and not be saved? But they aren't. I don't get saved. They follow the tradition of it, but they don't have revelation of it. Because you go and talk to them, they don't believe the Bible's true. They don't believe the Bible's literally true. Well, I cannot, how can you believe in a salvation if you don't believe it's literally true? Is it literally true or not? I mean, you decide that. Which part do I pick is true? In other words, I'll pick the part. If I pick what part I want, then what it becomes, I become God. Now, I'm the guy who chooses salvation, how it works. God, you're going to bow to me on my belief. Well, I gave that one up a long time ago. That don't work. Hallelujah. Well, anyhow, what started this whole thing off was I had only gotten saved. In fact, Wanda was not saved at the time. She had gotten saved a few months later. She wasn't saved at the time, but I had worked with some people. They talked about, in fact, I've said this before, they told it before, but they said about this family, this man and woman had a 19-year-old son who died and was lost and went to hell. And I mean, that just gripped me. When I heard about that, I thought, my God, you got, your son dies and he goes off to hell, he's lost. And I don't know, it's like me, it's like, man, you know, your son's going to spend eternity in hell. And I'll forget, when I heard about it, I went upstairs and I was in our bedroom. It was at 321 Canal Street, and I was up in the front bedroom there, Wanda and I's bedroom. I'd go up there a lot to that bedroom, and I would walk around and pray. And I went up there and just talked to God about this. And I said this to the Lord. This is when the Lord spoke to me then. But I had talked to the Lord about this. And then I said to him, I said, Lord, I don't know if I'd want to go to heaven if my wife and kids didn't go to heaven. I don't know if I want to be there. I mean, I was sincere. You know, I can understand it. Paul said, he said, man, I'd give my life. I'd take hell if I could get the rest of the Jews except Jesus. It was like with me to go off to heaven. I mean, that just gripped me. And the Lord just, to me, it was like an audible voice spoke in the room. It was like an audible voice to me. Now, you might say, you know, there's a lot of encounters I had when I was started off as a Christian. There's a lot of supernatural things. And even since was one of the things, and I wanted to say to you, if you don't spend much time with God, you won't have many. You want to spend God time. You're going to determine what you spend time with. And I spend a lot of time. I mean, you can ask Wanda. I mean, the first 3 years of my Christian walk, I lived in the bedroom upstairs. Wanda used to have to wait till I got done. She'd go to bed. But I would go up to the bedroom and I'd go up there and I'd talk to God. To me, you know, is God's real? I wanted to get to know him. And I never sought for an experience with God, never one time. I never sought for any kind of audible voices or anything like that. I didn't. But it seemed to me that day the Lord spoke, and just as clear, this voice said, go read the 128th Psalm. And I'd had my Bible was sitting on the end table. There's a table there by the small thing by the edge of the bed. And I still know what I was doing. I was over at the window on the left-hand side, standing in front of that window, just talking to God. And when that voice spoke to me, I walked around the bed and I walked over. To me, it's just like that happened yesterday. I mean, I could just see it. To me, when revelations, experiences I've had with God, they're just, you know, they're supernatural. And I can remember walking over there. And so this is when I read this, and I'm going to read it now. It's the 128th Psalm. It says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his way. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. And I remember I read this down through, and when I had finished reading it, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, And he said, if you do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of your family. That was the revelation. If you will do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of your family. Well, when he said that, there are certain things of revelation came to me about this. Is everyone, if we look at this, it says, everyone who fears the Lord and walks in his way. Now, number one, right there, and let me tell you, is the key to this. Don't even bother with the rest of it if you ain't doing that part. The rest of it don't mean anything. It is not good. It's that part. The Lord really emphasized that to me and said, if you do what I tell you to do, he said, I'll take care of your family. And I know what he's talking about, because I'm talking about the salvation of my family. He said, I'm going to take care of your family. He said, if you will do what I tell you to do. See, it's number one, the church has put praying way up here and doing way down there. And that ain't where God put it. He said, if you do, in other words, now it's one of the things that prayer helps. Prayer can help you find what you're supposed to be doing. But I don't care how much time you spend in prayer, if you don't do the doing. Now, I want you to think about this. I've often thought about it. Kenneth Hagin said this and told this to us. When the Lord spoke to him, Kenneth Hagin had spent 12 years in pastoring. And the Lord told him that he hadn't even been in the first phase of the ministry he called him to. He said, I never called you to pastor. He was doing it. And the Lord said to them, many of my ministers will live and die and never enter the first phase of the ministry I called them to. See, people do religiously what they think and also what people think they ought to do as a minister. More ministers are led by the people than they are by God. Right in this community, I'll never forget, the Lord told me to start a church here in Lebanon. I wanted to go on the mission field. God don't go do things the same. My second year at Rhema, and your second year in school, you're supposed to go over and take courses into things that, you know, you think God's leading you into. Well, I knew in the areas of teaching, so I thought the Lord was going to lead me in the areas of teaching. He said, no, he said, I want you to take missions. That's what I want you to do. Go to the missions class. The missions class. So I go over in the missions class. I go over and start going through the missions class. And I mean, I've had some supernatural experiences concerning that. I have just had some majors. And you know, when I come out of Bible school, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to go in the mission field. I didn't want to come to Lebanon till I found out that Lebanon is one of the biggest heathen places in the world. You know, out here, I'll tell you, they're better off in the backwoods of Lebanon of Africa than they are here. Should I tell you why it's so hard to reach? It's because they think they know something. They think they're religious. They think, you know, we know God. I don't know squat. But when I got here, God told me he wanted me to start a church. And that's I'm just saying this. All the supernatural experiences I've had with God and everything, never one time did he ever speak to me about pastoring. Maybe that was good because I'd have ran off. He wanted me to, because I didn't want to pastor. I told the Lord I want to pastor. I didn't want to do that. I don't want to pastor. I don't want to do those things. And that's one of those things that him and I went rings around about that stuff till one day he got fed up with it. Just like he has with you too. You just haven't listened. And he said, I want you to go start that church and I don't want to ever hear you talk to me about it again. And he didn't say it in a cute, gracious way. He said it like, this is the last one, bud. And I got off my knees and I said, yes, sir, we're going to do that one. We're going to start a church. What do you think of that? See, it is what we go along in things you want to do. See, but it's one of the things he's leading him along. And I learned this. Sometimes getting in the will of God, doing it always isn't the easiest. It's number one, don't spend any time praying if you don't want to really find out what's going on. See, I think that's sometimes why some people don't pray, because they know if they pray, God will talk to them. But when you pray, I find out, and I pray, God will many times talk to me about things I wasn't even thinking was important at the time, but he finds important. But understand that he does, and it's when you spend time with God to get to know him, to let him talk into your life. See, most people, it's all about them getting an answer to something. That's why they never get answers to something. You know, you folks would be shocked how little I've prayed about certain things, yet I've had great success in them. Because too many people spend too much time praying about the things instead of asking God what to do. Spend all their time praying about stuff, praying about, praying this, praying that, trying to get this, trying to get God, talking to God. No, I find out what God wants. See, I learned this, got a revelation as a young Christian. My job is to do the will of God. See, that's what this here says. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. This is one thing. Do you fear God? Do you really fear God? Do you reverence Him above your family? If God told you to do something in spite of them, what they wanted to do and they're whining for, you would still do it. Trying to keep them happy. So you have to decide that. You have to decide that. You know, I've talked about this, you know, the Lord was dealing with me at the thing, and I said, well, I don't know if Wanda's going to go along with that. He just spoke to me directly. You going to do what I tell you? You're not going to do it if she don't like it? Ooh, I said, I guess I better change about this one. See, because we have all this nonsense about agreement. All the man and wife, you know, they're supposed to agree on everything. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's a two-headed monster that'll never follow God. You need to understand this, you know. And it's just from the guy's standpoint. The guy has to learn to know when God's talking to the wife. See, this is one thing you got to get sense with God. I got to know when God's talking to Wanda. You see, people don't do this today. It's all about disagreement stuff. The only guy I want to be in agreement with is God. That's the top of the list. It's top of the list to everybody. It's God. That's it. Because why? The success of others depends on it. Your prayer life don't depend. You can waste your time. I've wasted my time praying. It's like I said, go on Randall Greer, or he has on his site. You can go on there and you can buy a series. It's called How to Waste Your Time Praying. Get that and listen to it. And you know what you're going to find out? Boy, have I wasted my time praying. Why? Because prayer is a great tool if it's used according to the Word of God. We only teach, mostly people just teach one side of it. It's the getting. I found this out. There's a lot that you can get from God without ever praying about it. When you have to be asking all the time, you ain't a favored kid. I'm talking about favor. You ain't a favored kid. You know how to get to be a favored kid? Do the will of God. You know, it's one thing. I don't care. I two daughters. I loved them both. But I'm going to tell you what. The ones who obeyed and did what we wanted them to do was always treated better than the one who, if one of them didn't. I'm not like parents. We treat them all the same. I don't. I treat them the same if they do the same. I don't have the law passed in America. If you're both on the same job, you get the same pay. No, you got to do the same work. I'm like God. I'm like God. People ain't today. This is the mess up today. Because see, we're not doing the will of God, so things don't work out. But yet we want the blessing of God. You know what? You get the blessing of God. There's things that will never get straightened out. The things that we're always trying to work out. See, we're like, the American way is this. The squeaky wheel gets all the oil. God operates exactly the opposite. If you got a kid that's a problem in the family, they get all the attention. The devil knows it. He'll work on one to get all the attention, and that's where they'll spend all their time. And the good kids, well, you just take care of yourself. See, if I had one of the kids with a squeaky wheel, they got the least of my attention. That's a good way not to get my attention. In the church, it's the same way. If you're a squeaky wheel, I don't pay no attention to you. You squeak all you want. Squeaking ain't what makes it work. That isn't what's done. See, we do this. The problem people, This is the thing, the problem people. I want to start ministry for people. Well, let's find the problem people, and that's who you make the ministry to. Yeah. The people don't listen to nothing. The people don't pay. Everybody jumps to pay attention. Well, if it'd be that way, if the people do that, would be God. When people got to heaven, the people who were the problem people get all the rewards. We do all kind of stuff. We just do it backwards. We why? Because we think we're God. We can fix things, and we don't let God fix things. See, I found out one of the greatest things, and this is learning about listening to God, about doing things, especially in the family, is learning sometimes when to intervene or step in and when not to. When I'm supposed to and when I'm not supposed to. That can be a hard thing to do. Most people's problems exist and continue to exist because they step in and stick their nose in it too much. Always trying to fix their kids' problems. People are not going to learn a thing if you always, you know, what would a kid ever learn in school if they never had to do the test, the teacher would always give them the answers? Well, that's what parents do. Give their kids the answers all the time. You don't do that. You let them work things out. You let them, you know, there's time to help. You got to know when there's time to step in and not to. But see, that takes wisdom. That takes time. That takes learning for yourself. And most people are run by emotion rather than by wisdom. They're run by emotion. They see a problem. I don't like to see problems exist. Well, how do you like what's going on in our nation today? Go fix it, folk. You know, we're in this problem because of this stuff. Because we live in America and we ask our politicians to fix everything because we don't like any discomfort any better than they do. Ooh, this is good preaching. See, there's wisdom for God. This one thing is I had to learn about God. Because see, I would think about, why doesn't God step in on this? Or why doesn't God, and God doesn't. Why hasn't God, all the prophets said God had done, supposed to step in by now. He was, all of them are out here, oh yeah, this, hey, by May it was going to be over. You know, and all this stuff, people saying, yeah, this was going, has it gone? No. Well, gee, what happened? Why didn't God step in? People pray and seek out, why don't he? See, this comes down. You got to come down. I got to trust God. When the Lord spoke to me 2 weeks ago and told me, just trust me. You know, that means I can't sit and start figuring out, why didn't he do it? Boy, it sort of seems like it should. Why this? Why? So you can start and go to that place. But see, it goes to that place, I'm not supposed to do anything physically about. I'm not supposed to just trust him. I just do my praying about stuff and that stuff and pray for our president, pray concerning our government and things, but keep myself where I'm just trusting him. And you know what happens when you do that? Keeps a smile on your face. It's like, woo, we trusted him. We're trusting him. Glory to God. We're not trying. See, it comes down. It's everybody's trying to do something. Well, what? Well, I got to fix this, or we're going to push this. There's one thing is you don't want to. You don't want to start pushing into things that you don't know that God's pushing into or not. You might end up with something in this nation. We thought this was bad. See, you get pushing into things. You know, Israel, wow, we want the king. We want to be like the rest of the nations. Well, that one worked out real well. That one worked really good. God said, okay, you ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and you got it. You got door number 3. I had door number 1 and 2 for you, but you'll never see those. Because you asked for 3. And now you live with 3. And now you're going to live with kings for the rest of your life. And most of them ain't going to be worth the breath they breathe. Woo, things are looking up, aren't they? That's why, let's get over and trust God. See, he started this thing off, and he said, in other words, everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his way. And this is what I found out. Then, you know, in this thing, when he spoke to me and he said, if you will do what I tell you to do, I will take care of your family. And that's the foundation of the revelation. As I understood this, it is most important for me to find out what God wants me to do. And go do this. You know, in me finding me, it doesn't matter what I know you're supposed to do. It's what I'm supposed to do. That's the number one. I find what I'm supposed to do. And then he said, why? When you eat the labor of your hands. Now this is an important thing. In other words, you get to eat the labor of your hands. Many people don't get to. See, we have today, you don't even work. See, and they're going to give you money. I'm sorry, that don't fit this. Anybody that ain't working, they don't have the labor of their hands. This scripture ain't for them, and I don't care if they're a Christian. I don't care if they're a Christian. He said you're going to eat the labor of your hands. So in other words, one of the things is staying productive, doing things. You know, don't be sitting around not doing nothing, expecting somebody else to take care of you. He said, you'll eat the labor of hands, because I tell you, the devil is stealing a lot of the labor of a lot of people's hands. Look how many people have spent the labor of their hands in businesses and stuff, and they're losing them. Now, they said New York and New Jersey, those two states, both states, almost a third of the small businesses have shut their doors. The labor of people's hands are gone. The labor of people, some of them are Christians, and their businesses are gone. Say, well, I thought God was going to take care of the Christian. Sorry, you must have read a different book. There's qualifications for the blessing of God, and there always will be. There always will be. There's qualifications. He's telling us here, I know this for the fact, he said, you shall be happy. What? Don't he know what 2020 is like? My God! Oh, see, the Bible's not relevant for our time. You know, this is... You will be happy, and it shall be well with you. Woo! Glory to God! Remember what this started with. It. You doing the will of God. You and me, we got to do the will of God. Find out what God wants me. What's God telling me to do? It's a hugely important thing. Is find out, what does God want me to do? Lord, show me what you want. I'll do it. He said, it'll be well with you. Then he says this, where your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. Shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. See, the Lord said, if I would do what he told me to do, I would eat the labor of my hands. And my kids and my wife, it's all going to be all right. Now, I was talking to God about, because I wanted my family to end up in heaven. He didn't tell me this. And, yeah, they're going to have to be really good, but eventually you'll die and they'll go to hell. No, they're not going to. They're going to be fruitful vines. My wife's a fruitful vine. Kids like olive plants around the table. In other words, they're going to follow the direction that I'm going. If I... See, your number one thing is to find out what God's called you to do and do it. That's your number one thing. See, I've learned over the years, that's what I stand on. See, I stand on that all the time. That's what I've done. All these years, I've done that. I stand on... I do the will of God. God takes care of the family. Most people have an exact opposite. I pray for God to take care of the family. I keep praying every day for God to take care of that. I pray all the time for God to take care of the family. That's the opposite of this verse. That doesn't even say that. No, praying's a good thing. And we should. We should pray. But the number one thing for me to do is that if I'm going to be praying and seeking God to follow God's plan, to follow God's purpose, for the benefit of my family. About me. See, we make our prayers about others and others. I learned this a long time ago. If I don't follow God, I will have little effect on people. I need to follow. See, most people, the whole thing is, I'm going to pray God to have effect on people and I'm going to live my own life. I'm sorry. That's one of the things is you're just wasting your time praying. You're just wasting your time. It's only good to pray for your family if you ain't going to follow the will of God. You're wasting your time. See, there's power in this. When God taught me this, this revelation, it changed my life. And I started to see how this thing worked. And this thing began. Look, it says, behold, thus shall the man be blessed who what? Fears the Lord. It jumps back to the beginning again. Thus the guy who fears the Lord, this guy that's following God, fears God. This guy, boy, this guy's a blessed dude. See, we have a lot of idea of what blessing, of what we think blessing is blessing is following the way. There's no more blessed thing than you can do for anybody or anything is you follow God. You follow God. You follow God. God, what do you want me to do? God, show me, I will do your will. I'll follow your will. See, that's been the big thing. Anytime, you know, we had, you know, at times, you know, with your kids and whenever our kids, you know, we had, Alyssa went to college, she, you know, got over into some things and I just, what I did was this, I would just go to God. I went to God. I remember one time, you know, and Wanda was very concerned about it. I could tell she was having a hard time with it and things like that because, you know, you see your child doing things. And when I'll be honest about it, I didn't do any praying about it. I went to, this is what I did. I didn't pray about Alyssa, I prayed about Ed. This is what I did. I said, Lord, and I got the book out. See, this book here has his words, and if he don't keep his word, he ain't worth spit. Right. This book is worthless. If you have doubt about it, it's worthless to you. It means nothing. I got the book out, and I said, Lord, back in 1980, you spoke to me, and this is what you said. I said, let me read this to you. And I read it to him. And I said, Lord, you said if I would listen to you, and I do, I'd fear you, and walk in your way. You said my children would be as olive plants around the table. And I said, Lord, if I missed it, and somewhere, I said, you tell me. I said, I'll repent and turn from it. Whatever you want me to do in your will, I'll do it. If I've missed it, I've gotten out of your will, let me know. But I said, Lord, if I'm in your will, you better get to work. That's what I told him. See, he was waiting for me to step up on the covenant. See, this is covenant stuff. This is covenant stuff. See, I didn't run in. Oh, God, look what's happening. Ah, ha, ha. Oh, let's go to prayer chain. Let's get somebody else. I didn't have to do that. I had the word on it already. Why would I have to go and spend huge amounts of time in prayer about this? It isn't something that's for that. Now, if the Lord would told me and said, now, I want you to pray or do this, I'd have done it in a minute. Whatever you want me to do. But he didn't. I said, so I expect you to get this straightened out. And you know what happened? In 2 weeks, it was straightened out. You know what? God's going to do his part. He is not. He's not like men. You see, the things that the Lord has specifically given me revelation about, if I'm dealing with that area, that's what I go to him on the basis of the revelation I had. I talk to him on that basis of that revelation. And see, this is what you got to learn to do. You got to learn. See, this revelation. Now, there's nothing wrong with you praying, but I'll tell you, don't pray to try to control. You don't have to try to control. Most people pray. They pray for other people to control, to get them to do what I want them to do. Let's get them to do what God wants them to do. You know, you can't look at people in the natural. In the natural, people can be acting terrible, and yet they're not really away from God. We have to understand that sometimes because God's dealing with people, and they're just in a, you know, one of those states that they're just, God's dealing with them, and they're having a hard time with it. And you got to learn to see that. You learn to know when you stay out of stuff instead of walking around. Well, they're just getting worse and worse. I've been praying for them, and boy, I tell you, they just acting heavy, Say, oh, there you go. You and the devil are doing a great job trying to tear up everything God's doing. Ah, come on, you might as well smile. You've done it. You know, it's understanding. You know, one of the worst times that I went through in my life was the fact right before I got born again, God was dealing with me. And I'm going to tell you what, it was hard on me. That was hard on me, you know. And, you know, I was unsaved. So it isn't surprising I didn't act real cool about it. But then I found out people that are born again didn't act any better about it than I do. When God's dealing with them. But you know, this promise, when God spoke to me that day, this thing stuck on me from then on. And my whole thing has been, one of my big things of talking to God about in life as I go along, what do you want me to do? What is God? What do you want? See, most people are never, you know, most people don't even think about that. Most people, they're thinking about, well, you know, if I had this fixed, then my life would be better or this. We don't, doing the will of God fix your life. You know, Brother Hagin's life never became a success till he started getting in the will of God. There was revelation he never received that he needed. But he never received it because he wasn't in the will of God. Think about this, what Jesus said about people not walking with God. He said, even what they have will be taken from them. The revelation that they have. I see people, I know Christians, many Christians today, who walked years ago in revelation. They don't even have it anymore. It's been taken from them because they've gotten away from God. And they can't even remember those revelations anymore. They don't walk in them. Remember, revelation comes from God. Light comes from God. God knows how to turn the light off too, just like he knows how to turn the light on. If God turns the light off on revelation to you, you can study it all you want. You won't keep it. You keep it by being in the light, the place where the light's at. That's where it stays. And see, that's why, as I always go to God, God, see, I stay in the light. Now, this is not, you know, God ain't sitting up there in heaven. Okay, Dad, you missed it yesterday. Now everything's going wrong. It don't run that way. But you walk and live your life. Now, see, I've set myself, if you get off base, Lord, I'm off base. Okay? Need to get back. This is what you told me to do. See, so you find in life, sometimes you come along and you find yourself walking and you're, you know, going along and all of a sudden I realize, you know, I'm not doing exactly what God wants me to do. I need to get back over in line. And you start seeing that. That's part of listening to God. Now you're always going to do that in the earth. Nobody's perfect on that kind of stuff, but we're learning to listen to our spirits. And that's what you got to do. But you got to lift yourself a life where you are consistently in the area where you're constantly looking at the will of God for your life. Of God, if like the Lord told Kenneth Hagin, he said, I don't want you to get too far out in front of me because he said, if I'm turned, he said, you'll be out there and you might not even see that I'm moving in a different direction. In other words, you want to walk close and all the time. And I'll ask God, is there anything you want me to do? Or if I missed it, I want to know. You got to keep doing that along the way. Most people never do that in their Christian walk. You know, I'm a pretty good Christian. I'm nice. I don't lie, cheat, and steal. But I don't listen to God either. You know, I don't cuss and swear. I don't run around. And I think what the neighbor does is awful. And God thinks what you're doing is worse than the neighbor does because he's a heathen. And you're saying you're a Christian and you don't listen to the master. I know I'm the only guy that's been there. I should have known that when I said it. Now, you know, this obedience, and see, this is one of the things that I learned along because, see, God has consistently over the years increased in revelation to me about certain things. And many times to me it's surprise. I didn't know. You know, I told the story about what happened to me when in fact, this was exactly the same year. In the year that the Lord told me to go out to camp meeting, to Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting, he said, when you go out there in 1983, he said, you're going to get an anointing. I'm going to give you an anointing when you go out there. And I always thought about this. The Lord, see, and you got to learn about this, the Lord. The Lord don't explain everything to you. You got to learn that. This is what it's about the faith walk. About the faith walk is this. He said, you go out there, I'm going to give you anointing. He didn't talk to me about anointing. I knew what anointing, what's the anointing going to be? I don't know. He didn't talk to me about it. I spent time in prayer with, you know, and spending time about, you know, listening to him, what he wants to say to me, what he wants to, and he wouldn't discuss that at all, what it was. And so, I'm going to go out 1983. I'm going to go out there. So my thing is I'm spending time in prayer because God, you know, one of the things I had said before that he did, he sent a guy to me and gave me a series of teachings on the anointing. A guy had did on the anointing, and I thought, you know, because I had told nobody about this. I didn't go around telling me, God's going to give me anointing. You know, he said he's going to do this, he's going to do that. Don't do that stuff. Because you probably won't get a thing, and it wouldn't God talk to you anyhow. So, you know, you let God do something, and if you've got an anointing, as I learned from Kenneth Hagin, if you've got an anointing to do something, people will know it. This is why most guys run around have to call themselves something today. The reason they call themselves by a name because they can put anything, any label on an empty can. But I don't put nothing in it. If you got, Brother Hagin told us this. He said, I remember listening to him on tape. He said, if you have a gift, people will know. He said, people will know if you have a gift. It's not important that people know the title of your gift. If that's one of the big things today is people and their titles. What's important is you walk in the gift that God gives you, not that people know what the title is. The reason people have to go running around and blabbing all the time, I'm a this, I'm a that, is because they ain't most of the time. If they were that, people would see it. If you have to keep telling people, it's a good chance they can't notice it. Is you have a gift, and a gift shows up. You know, and I knew when the gift showed up, but what happened to it? It was a teaching gift. The teaching gift came on me. And but anyhow, he had sent me out there. So I'm spending time on the direction he said he's sending me. And that's when a thing that I had at Reese's when I got over because of a thing that happened with an individual. And I got over pushing into prayer about another thing with an individual. I'm trying to change something. You see, I'm not in the will of God. I'm trying to change something. That God had told me specifically, don't do that. Told me this individual is going to take a long time to straighten out. You let it alone. And I didn't let it alone. See why I didn't like the way it was. See, I had better sense than God. See, I'm going to pray and I'm going to get this thing changed. So there was one of those things that I didn't ask for an encounter with God. He just showed up to me mad. Because I got over sticking my nose in an area. And the reason he did, because I tell you what, I would open the doors to demonic powers. You pushing into things, you need to understand this baby Christian stuff we got. You get over pushing into wrong things, you can push into things that'll open the door for demon powers to work because you pushing in prayer where you ain't supposed to be. There's a lot of demon operation goes on because Christians started it. Pushing into things. Instead of dealing with God, they keep dealing with what they want. It ain't about just what you want. See, there needs to be, you know, you can do a lot when you're a baby Christian. But we got too many baby Christians. Too many Christians today don't know much spiritually. Too many. Even ones that want to be good people. It's because they're sitting in churches with pastors that don't know. We teach too much fluff stuff. We don't deal with the things. There's danger out here in this stuff. There's a demonic world that you want to walk in authority over. You can't open doors to it and walk in authority over it. We're the door closers on that stuff. So when God, well, I got over and I'm messing around in it. God shut me down on that. Got me to straighten out. See, I was out of the will of God. See, he was kind enough to shut me down on that thing. Why? So I could get over and walk in his will so I could be blessed. See, if you can't be corrected, you can't be blessed. But see, my confession always was, God will do anything. If he has to send an angel, if Jesus has to appear himself, if he has to send a guy to China, if I'm getting out of the will of God to come and straighten me out, he's allowed to do that. Whatever he got to do to keep me in line, dear Lord, do it. I don't want to get out of line. See, most people today, this is the American church. Don't correct me. I'll just go to another church that'll tell me I'm all right. Yeah, there we are in America. No, Lord, correct me. Why? Because there's blessing to this to other people. It's number one, our own family. I never realized how far this was going to go. But in July, the third week in July is camp meeting. They don't have camp meeting. So I was going out. But in June, I was just taking time in prayer, and I would pray. And it was nighttime, and Wanda and them would go to bed, and I would be downstairs in the living room at night, and I'd just go down there, I'd turn all the lights off, and I'd just spend time in prayer. And I prayed. I was talking to God about going to Camp Meade. If there's any specific things He wanted me to do, I'm talking to Him about that. I ain't talking about anything. And just out of the clear, the voice of the Lord spoke up and said, because you have done what I've told you to do, 128 Psalm. He said, I'm going to bring all your brothers and sisters into the kingdom. Well, I'm going to tell you, that shocked me. I mean, I'm even praying about, see, this, everybody's over there, they're praying about this person, they're praying. I ain't praying about my brothers and sisters. I'm over here praying about the will of God. What do you want me to do, Lord? I'll follow whatever you want. I'll do what you show me. He says this to me. He says, why would He answer my prayer? Why did He do this? It was not the base on me praying for my family. I wasn't praying for my brothers and sisters. I had prayed for my brothers and sisters, but I was like, oh, I was just praying about my brothers and sisters. I'm not doing that. My whole thing is, God, what do you want me to do? And God says, because you've done what I've told you to do, I'm going to bring all your brothers and sisters in. You see, God keeps His word. God keeps His word. See, I didn't realize that this thing would extend over into them if I would keep following Him. Now you need to understand, you're going to have to take, if you want to take this, you want to take this revelation serious, you can't just, you know, hey, that's everyone, I'm just going to stand on it. You better follow God. You better follow God. But I'm just telling you, it'll work. Now I'll guarantee you, I bet everybody that's here has done a lot more praying for their family than I've ever done. But I have God's word on it. He's literally spoke to me about it. But the whole basis was doing His will. That's the whole basis. Doing His will. Fine. God, what do you want me to do? I'll do it. See, I could do a lot of good things. Just think about this. Kenneth Hagin was pastoring churches, but it wasn't in the will of God. He's doing good, wasn't he? Wasn't he doing good stuff? He was doing, oh, he's pastoring churches, doing things. There's people got healed and saved and all this kind of stuff. All that. But you know, it wasn't God's will for him to be doing that. He was supposed to be doing another ministry. But he's doing that. I mean, think about it. I mean, I said it. Brother Hagin said when the Lord told him and he wasn't ever supposed to, he said, Lord, I've been doing all this. And the Lord said, but I didn't call you to do none of that. It's like, oh my God! See, we can do a lot that's good, but understand this about the perfect will of God. The average Christian will live in the permissive will of God. They will live in the place of, I'm saved, I'm a nice person. And that's where they'll live. I'm talking about going to the place of the perfect will because there's a blessing there that you can't get things to happen any other way. Now this is why I've talked about this before, but I don't know, just like with my oldest sister Helen. Helen was a real hardhead. She was harder headed than me or anybody else in the family. That's hard to believe. But anyhow, Helen would listen to nobody about God. Helen knew everything. She was the genius. She always knew. She always had it. And Helen went along till finally one day she's living down in Florida and stuff. My brother gives me a call and says, Sister Helen's in the hospital and she's dying. The doctors don't know why. She's in her 80s, you know, and so she's dying. And he said, about praying. And I said, no, I said, I'm not going to pray. Well, that shocked him. I said, Helen can't die till she accepts Jesus. So I said, see, I'm going to stand on the covenant. When I've heard, I'm not going to be moved by you. You can call me to pray, but if I've heard, I ain't doing what you say. If I've heard from God, I'm not doing what you say or what you want. Once I've heard, I'm sticking with God. Because if we're going to get it fixed, we get it fixed by sticking with God, not by what you want. You need to understand that. See, well, we need to pray. Helen's dying. I said, Helen can't die till she accepts Jesus. I said, the Lord spoke to me and told me he's going to bring all my brothers and sisters in. And Helen can't die or Jesus is a liar. Good chance that's ever going to happen. You know, is that ever going to, is Jesus lied? See, this is where faith life comes. Everything's running contrary to what it looks like. But I heard in 1983, many years before, the Lord said to me, I'm going to bring your whole family in. Did that word quit sometime into belief? All it was connected to was me doing the will of God. If I'm doing the will of God, God's going to have to get Helen saved affirm she leaves this earth. Well, Helen don't listen to nobody, but God knows who to listen to. You know, all you did was harden them most of the time by your talk. You hardened them running your mouth. Well, see, I didn't. I never talked to Helen about things of God. Never. Because I knew the way she was, and I knew, don't talk to Helen. Unless God specifically told me. I used to, with my brothers and sisters, I told the Lord, you ever want me to talk to them about spiritual things, you let me know, I'll talk to them. But I said, other than that, I ain't saying a thing. Because I know, see, I'm the youngest of nine, and so I'm the dummy in the family. You know, I'm the guy that don't know. You're the youngest. We're all brighter than you. You know, and I know that. And Jesus was the oldest of the family. They didn't listen to him either. So it's a holy. When you follow God, nobody wants to listen. Why? Because they have to listen to you. They got to admit you're right. Oh, family, that's the thing. Oh, no, I ain't going to admit that none of the rest of them are right. We ain't going to do that. What I did is I didn't do that. I'll tell you what, I didn't, in the last 20 years, I will bet I didn't spend over 25 minutes praying about my family, about my brothers and sisters. Well, I'd have to do most of it by all unbelief, acting like God wasn't going to do it. He already told me he's going to bring them in. Well, if I won't pray like he ain't going to. Like, God, I better get this praying done here to get them in because, you know, You might slip up there a little bit, God. And I did. But one of the most wonderful things was that God sent a Korean lady to the hospital to talk to my sister. And she got born again. I mean, to me, it was just, you know, it was miraculous the fact that Helen listened to somebody talk about Jesus because she hated to listen to that. She hated to have anything to do with Christianity. Now, I never, like, this one of the things it is, you know, and people say, well, pray there for Helen to be healed. I said, man, Helen gets saved. I don't want her healed. I want her to immediately go to heaven. That's, go to heaven. Don't pass go. Don't collect $200. Off! She's saved and in heaven! That's what I wanted! That's the most important. See, we put healing and everything. Now, healing and things are wonderful, but we put that before people being right with God. See, I want my sister. She's saved and she's with Jesus. I'll tell you what, my prayer, she's in heaven with mom and dad. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. This one, I know when I go to heaven. Now this is a very interesting thing because the Lord told my mom years ago that all the kids would come into the kingdom. But I know why. I mean, think about this. The revelation that God gave me brought that to pass. Because the Lord gave me the revelation, you follow, do what I say, I'll bring them in. See, somebody was going to have to do something to complete that. This is why you follow the will of God. There's things all along. I don't care what somebody said in the past. There are people that are coming along in life, and they're going to be the ones, if they listen to God, to bring those things to pass. That you have to walk in the will of God. There's things you can pray about night and day. It'll never happen. You can pray about it night and day. It's going to take somebody to follow out the will of God. Somebody's going to do what he says. But I'm going to tell you, I can't knock the results. The results. The results are in. See, I have an older brother in his 80s. He's getting really out there. You know, he's 1 foot out of the grave. But he ain't leaving until he gets saved. I ain't worried in the least about that. Why? Because God said. Because God said. I have the word of the Lord on it. Just like it never seemed that Helen was ever going to come in. He got Helen. See, when we look at these things, this is why a lot hasn't changed here in America in these things, because there's so much praying and unbelief. We don't believe God's really working. We don't believe God's. We're, you know, praying out here like, oh my God, oh you got to do this, oh God, you know, oh my words, with our nation, what's going to happen to it? I don't know everything that's going to happen to it, but I can trust God. God's working. He's doing things. He doesn't change being God. Hallelujah. And if I'm doing the will of God, He'll bless me. And He'll bless my family. He can bless others. And that's what this is about today. This is a revelation. This scripture just wasn't for me. But it's got to be, it can't, just because it's my revelation, don't make it your revelation even if I preach it. You're going to have to come to the place where you believe it and to act upon it and do it. See, I started from that day. See, I've never done and hardly much praying about finances with our family and stuff, things like that. Never done much about that. I've always said to the Lord, I always told the Lord, any place you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. You got to take care of my family financially. You don't? Then I'm going to take care of them, and I ain't taking care of your stuff. Because I can't be doing both. I can't be running his stuff and my stuff. He has to take care of things. And I know this. He's good. He said, I'd be happy. Well, if you don't have the finances, you won't be happy? No. My family needs things. I never, when God telling me to do something, I never took stuff from the family to go do God's stuff. If God can't supply the finances to do His stuff, He ain't near who He said He is. See, people get over into things that people don't, I don't know, to me there's not a lot of logic in the kingdom. The kingdom's pretty logical when you figure out either God's who He said He is or He's not. It's pretty logical to me. God has to take care of my family. I've always been the thing, God, you don't take care of my family, I don't have to take care of your stuff. I'm not in a one-sided business. You know, I hate these one-sided preachers. I can't stand them. They've done nothing but rob people. They come along and say, well, God, you know, he can do what he wants with your stuff. And they say, hold it. Then we ain't workers together. He's just a big bully, gets what he wants. That ain't my God. My Father gives His word. He is a God of His word, and He will perform that word. He said, I was going to be happy and blessed if I just do His will. See, my number one thing is to do His will. I am a servant of God by choice. I've chosen to serve Him. He ain't after your slavery. He ain't some slave. He does not have a slave driver. If you don't want to be a servant of God, you never will be by your choice. He will never make you a servant. He'll never do that. We serve a choice. We decide we want to serve Him. He's not going to make you do it. Well, God will make you do this or that. No, circumstance may make you do some things. But God, because of your disobedience, the trouble you end up in, you did that. Don't you blame God on that one. We've all been there. Ain't? Say, well, I wish I wouldn't have done that. We ended up in messes, but God's not like that. He doesn't work in that manner. He wants to bless you. You do His will. And He's interested. He takes care of His servants. You take care of His will. He take care of your life.
Amen.
You don't have to spend all your time trying to take care of your life. See, when I learned that, most people, and it's just like, you know, as Kenneth Cullen was right, he says, most people, they work for a living. The Bible never tells you to do that. The Bible tells you, New Testament, to work so you have to give. When I found that out, then I said to myself, that's the will of God. So I'm working so I have money to give. Not to just take care of me. God has to take care of me. That's His job. My job is to work to have money to give. That's my job. Is that your job? So you got to decide. See, people, to me, see, now see some people, oh, God will take everything. What? Give it a it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. God's going to take everything. It's founded in the thing that if I'm working, now see, number one, I keep myself over in the area where I'm working so I have to give. That's the will of God. So why? I'm going to be happy and I'm going to eat the labor of my hand. Boy, this is tough. This is really going to get bad, isn't it? And the labor of your hand is not just physical. The labor of your hand is working for God spiritually. The wife is a fruitful vine. The children is olive plants around the table. God bringing my brothers and sisters in. See, the labor of my hand is doing His will. And see, I get to see and have the fruit of that. Oh, that makes me happier than any paycheck. My sister Helen being in heaven is better than anything I have ever gotten physically. Amen. Helen's in heaven. When I go to heaven, I get to see Helen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's nothing better. I didn't have to, you know, I didn't have to wring my hands to get that. I didn't. All I had to do was find out what God wants me to do with my life. So I can't tell you what you're supposed to. I don't know. You have to find God with that. You know, if He don't tell me, sometimes I'll know certain things. But, you know, most of the time we don't know. Nobody knows. You have to seek God for yourself and find out. But see, that's all part of your relationship with God. That's all part of your fellowship with Him. But God spoke to me this morning about bringing that revelation out because He wants you to get a hold of that. Today, naturally, we want to pray and we want to pray, but I tell you, we want to get in the will of God. It's to follow the will of God. So our prayer life becomes a thing that is used for God rather than for our lives and for our families. People spend, you know, that's all I ever heard of when, back in the 80s and they started into the prayer stuff in the late 80s and in the 90s and it was all about this praying for your family all the time and doing all this, people just doing that all the time, all the time. How's all that worked out? Has it changed it a lot? No, it didn't. Why? It's men's ideas. Praying your family, there's nothing wrong with doing that. But you know, as I even know minister friends of mine, and they talk about when they go out on the road, all the praying that they do and do all those things. You know, I remember God told me to go down to Peru. He told me to go down to Peru to minister. And so I was going down there, and that's back the time when they had the communist insurgency was going on. At that time it was called something Silver Light or something like that was called. Anyhow, they're in there attacking places, blowing stuff up. But God said, go to Peru. So I was going down to Peru. So the first thing I get from some Christians is, well, haven't you heard about what's going down there in Peru? Have you been praying for God to protect you? I said, if God sent me down there and I have to work at protecting me, I said, then I'm staying at home. I ain't obeying God. I said, He ain't sending me down there to kill me. He's an idiot if He does. He gets somebody to obey Him. But all the rest of them are home and they're going to pray till they feel good about going down. Ain't none of them ever go down either. They're going to pray till they feel good about it, you know, to feel protected. I felt protected when God said go. That was His will. What I'm supposed to do is believe His will and walk in it. What good does it do being a humble? Well, God protect me when I go down there. He didn't plan on it. He planned on sending me down there to kill me. We're flying on the plane back and I'm with the group coming back. And this woman, you know, we really hit some, and there were bad turbulence and that stuff and the jet and things, but I have no fear of dying. It does. It goes to heaven. Dear Lord. I'm so tired of Christians praying about their life like something bad's going to happen when you die. Oh, dear God, I mean, something good's going to happen when you die, dear Lord. Well, anyhow, she comes up and she said, all these terms, we need to pray. I said, don't bother praying. I said, the devil can't kill me. He sit by my seat. I said, I'm going over. I said, I ain't praying a lick about this. I said, God didn't send me to Peru to minister and kill me on the way back. Why? Most people pray in unbelief. They said, don't they should have said, thank God we're going to the other side. Let's pray and worship God and thank God we're okay. No! We're going to die. Let's pray. This is the spirit-filled people. Got to cast that spirit out of them. They're full of fear. That's what's going on today. So much fear and praying about fear. My God, no wonder fear dominates. Hallelujah. God's taking care of us. Glory to God. We ain't going under, we're going over. Hallelujah. He didn't bring us this hour to let the devil kill us. Hallelujah. We'll kick the tar out of him. Glory to God. We're not backing down. We're standing up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God's got promise in His Word, but we got to take it. Is it true or not? Hallelujah. Go to Him in faith. You see a problem, say, there's another thing we'll fix. Glory to God. God will take care of that. Lord, show me my part. What do I need to do? You can't go at it. There's too much prayer that people go to, and it ain't no more than heaven hears a whine. Heaven's waiting to hear faith. So people step and say, God, whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I'm stepping up. We're making some decisions about sure. Whatever you want to do, if you have something you want to do, this is what your word said. If you want to do something else, let me know. We'll just do whatever you want. Hallelujah. We're in this, but we're turning things around. Not today they ain't turning things around. Oh my God, look at this. Like, you know, we got to try to convince God into wanting to do something good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. I don't know, I done preached me happy. Hallelujah. When I talk about the things that God's done in my life, I tell you, it just inspires me just to, let's believe Him some more. Hallelujah. Let's just go further with it. Hallelujah. You know, thank God for the Red Sea opening, but I'll tell you what, we need some Red Seas opening in our day. Hallelujah. Looking at the past, as a matter of fact, we can say what God did, but I'll tell you what, we the church need to look to the future. Hallelujah. We need to look ahead. We need things done. Hallelujah. And God will do them. And I just encourage you, this revelation. Now, again, this is a revelation that God, and He has told me, He's talked to me over the years about this. A revelation. He's told me a number of times. It's not just for you. It's for others. It's for others. If they'll take that revelation, set yourself to know the will of God. Set yourself. You walk in it. Hallelujah. You walk in the will of God. Hallelujah. You follow it. It'll change your prayer life. It'll change how you think. Hallelujah. It's number one, you'll lose fear concerning that. God wants, especially your personal family, get in there with that till you are settled in the thing with that. Hallelujah. You get your life, not their life. Quit trying to straighten out their life. We're trying to straighten out their life. I'm serious. Most of the time, that'll harden them. Most of the time, it will harden them. I'm just telling you. You'll make it the fact they don't want to hear nobody about anything. We don't harden them. God does. Like I've told the Lord, Lord, you want me to talk to some? I'll do that. You show me what you want. Hallelujah. We will, you know, I'm going to share a little bit more later on about, hallelujah, just concerning to praying for a person. You know, we've gone into you know, so much praying about things, I think we just wore things out instead of acting in line with what the Bible says in prayer and taking things that the Bible says to do in prayer. And we haven't done those things. We've had all this stuff. We look at our relatives and the problems and our kids and stuff and the stuff they do. And one of the things is you just get look too close. And quit being nosy in your kids' lives. Stay out of your, especially if they're really heathen. Don't be trying to find nothing out. Stay out of it and don't go listen to them and talking to them about it. All it does is put you into a bunch of unbelief and you'll start praying your unbelief.
Right.
You know, I don't pay no attention. You know, it's just like, you know, with my wife, my kids and my son-in-laws and stuff. You know, they have their families and their authority. If they want to talk to me and tell me about something, they may, if they like to. They can do that. I don't go stick my nose in their stuff. And you stay out of people's stuff. Ain't none of your business. Because I found out this. The more you know in those areas, it don't do no good. It only leads to unbelief. It only leads to, I wish I'd have never heard that. I wish I didn't know that. So don't come and dump it in my ear. I don't want to know it either. I want to tell you some garbage because we can pray about it. No, you take it to the landfill. That's where you take it to. We don't pray about the garbage. We're praying about the garbage. You need to know all the dirty details so you can really pray in the right way. You know. So you can get deeper into unbelief and you can just get there where your prayer won't work now for the next 2 months. You've been there with that? You stay away from those things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you could still pray with a smile on your face, believe in God. That's what you see. I want to know. What do you think if I want to know? God, what do you have to say? God, what do you have to say? Hallelujah. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Tell me that story. They're doing more heathen stuff. Praise God. There's just more grace in this thing. I can see it coming. Hallelujah. There's more grace coming. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sins abound, grace is greater. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, you gotta keep yourself on the side. When you're praying defeat, don't be surprised you have defeat. Hallelujah. We don't pray problems. We pray answers. We go to God's word. We stand in His face. Say, Lord, you know, it's just like David did. Say, Lord, you see what the heathen's doing? You said. This is what you said. You know, we go to God and say, see what they're doing? Make them stop it. This is terrible. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you today. Hallelujah. Father, you're the God of answers. And you are. Your wisdom is astounding. Lord God, Lord, you know that today I didn't speak on the basis of wisdom that I had gained from anything. You showed it to me. And Lord God, it is your wisdom. And it only works because it's your wisdom. It's not mine. But Lord God, I just accepted your wisdom as truth. And Father God, it's proved itself. Over time, it has proved itself. And I want you to thank you, Father God. Father, these are your dear children. These are the ones that you bought with your blood, that you paid the price for. And Lord God, I want to thank you that your wisdom's reaching out to them today. Your word says, James wrote and said, Lord God, if we lack wisdom, we ask you. You're the one that gives it liberally without reproach. Lord God, even though we messed up, you're not going to say, nah, I ain't going to give it to you. I'm tired of you messing up. I'm tired of you doing that. No. You said even you wouldn't do it without reproach if we ask you. So we come because, Lord God, we know we've messed up. We know maybe at times we did what we shouldn't. But, Lord God, we come today, Lord, for the revelation of your word. Father, you know that our desire is to obey you. Our desire is to follow you. And, Lord God, as we set ourselves today, as I look at each one of here, Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus for each one here today, Lord God, to know your will for their lives, what you want them to do specifically. Lord God, not just some general things out of the book, but Lord God, a revelation of your plans and purposes, that they can see it, to walk and live in it. Lord God, that it becomes a great joy to them to do your will above all. Lord God, that they will see the great benefit and following your purpose and plans. And Lord God, reveal it to them. Lord God, the benefit that it brings to others in the name of Jesus. Lord God, because multitudes will be blessed in the name of Jesus. Lord God, it will not revolutionize just their families. It'll revolutionize other families in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, because you can bring blessing through those who do your will. And Lord God, I thank you. They want to follow it. And you'll teach them and instruct them, Lord God. You will guide them. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God. Father, you're not backing off on this thing. Lord God, you're pushing it ahead. You have great plans in this days and years ahead, Lord God, that we're walking in to, Lord God, reveal the fruit of this earth. Hallelujah. Lord God, oh, the harvest. The harvest is great, but laborers are few. And I thank you, you're raising up laborers. Hallelujah. These are laborers doing your labor, doing your work, rather than the work of religion and the work of men's thinking. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, these will be a people of living and walking in the supernatural. Lord God, that they will see things brought to pass in their lives, in their families' lives, Lord God, that can only be brought to pass through the hand of God. Lord God, they're going to see what the great benefit, hallelujah. Lord God, where they have labored with all their strength, but when your strength steps in, Lord God, they will see the labor of the hand of God in their lives, hallelujah, and bringing things to pass, fulfilling the desires of their hearts, hallelujah, that Jesus Christ will be magnified glorified. Jesus Christ will be glorified. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for it. Father, I pray in these last days, Lord, it has been for me, and I just want to thank you, Lord God, revelation has flown so liberally in these last few years. Hallelujah. And I pray for each one here that revelation of the Word flows so liberally. Lord God, Lord, that they see like they have never seen before. Lord God, that their understanding is open like it has never been opened before. Lord God, that your plans and purposes will seem so easy and so real for them to do and to walk in. Lord God, they will be astounded, hallelujah, Lord God, of how their lives change because of the glory of your revelation to them. Hallelujah. That Jesus Christ will become so real. Hallelujah. It will be just a natural walk every day with Jesus. It'll be just naturally, hallelujah, that this is just the way that it is. You and the Lord, hallelujah, walking together. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that it will be so in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Expect revelation. Expect it just to come. You know, there's some, the Spirit of the Lord is saying, is there some of you, there's things inside of you, God's been trying to reveal things in revelation, and you think it's you. You think it's you. And God's trying to reveal things. You gotta learn that it is you, the you on the inside. That's where it's taking place at, you on the inside. God's bringing things up, hallelujah, is learning to yield to them. Things about the Word, things about He's going to reveal, give you revelation on things. See, most people think about having a revelation or a dream is about something. Lots of times revelation comes to me is through the Word. I will turn around and our scriptures will come to me as I was just, I could have preached some really good revelation today. Some things that He wanted me to talk about, just some things in the Word He wanted me to explain. And just, it's revelation that I got, and I just sit and reading the Word, minding my own business, you know, and God's revealing. And it's like, I sit down and look at it, my God, I've seen that before, but I've never seen it in this way. See, and you just come, there's things about it. Meditating on the inside. There's one thing is meditating. Is get yourself over. Is where you're thinking about the Word. This is one thing, see, that's why you gotta stay away from problems, so much from problem things going on all the time. Thinking about the Word. Meditate on the Word. God will give a revelation. I've never had times that I haven't meditated on the Word when revelation don't come to me. See, it's what's your meditation. You're meditating on something. You're meditating on something. You're spending your time on something. You'll spend your time on your fears, your anxieties and your worries or things like that. You spend, and you know what? You'll get revelation on it. And when you're done, you're going to be stronger in your fear. You'll be stronger in your worry. You'll be stronger in whatever. But you do in the Word, you'll get stronger in the Word. You'll get more revelation. Hallelujah. I'm amazed because the last couple of years, I've wondered sometimes if I knew anything about the Word. I thought there's things that I knew, but I sit and read the same things over and over, and they're like a new thing to me. It's like, whoa, man, it's getting better. It's getting better. See, but meditate on the Word. Think about what the Word says. Hallelujah.